Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sorry, Judith, I just have to take a pill. I do hope you don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'm just going to have a swig of my coffee and take an omeprazole.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Now, Judith, call yourself a contract. Call yourself omeprazole. Omeprazole is one of the, I think it's an antacid. It's a gastro-resistant capsule.
Bloody hell, Jenny. You're sounding like a fully fledged doctor.
I'm reading off the back of the package, darling. It's acid reflux has flared up something chronic. It has, Judith. I mean,
eating to do that?
I don't think it's anything to do with food. I really don't, because you know me, I have quite a mild diet in some respect. I don't have, because of not eating tomato, I don't tend to go down the acid route too much. And also, when I'm on tour, I'm 98% sandwich. So I don't think, I think it's stress, Judith. I think it's stress. And
well,
I know we should be on
just a moment.
Yeah,
just
on.
A moment.
Pedal back.
I know I'm an amateur compared to you, clearly. Yes. Bread. 95% bread. Are you sure
bread?
You haven't got an allergy to bread? Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's been 62 years of eating bread on a more or less daily basis.
Wow.
Acid reflux. Do you suffer?
Well, do you know, I don't know whether it's called acid reflex, but I do get sort of a burning sensation sometimes if I've eaten a lot of bread, you see.
I don't have the burning. I don't have the burning. I have the burpinas. I feel slightly nauseous, off colour, and I need to burp a lot. I've had blood tests done to check out other things because it can also be a warning sign of much more sort of insidious things. And weirdly enough, Judith, let's start with hypochondriac on the fuck's sake. Everyone's clinging on for it anyway. So you know when you're on medication and like I'm on high blood pressure medication and now and again, every sort of year or so, they just say, no, we're not giving you any more until you've had blood tests
until
to check everything.
Yeah.
I've had a load of blood tests. And anyway, when I went from my flu jab to the GP surgery, I said, are my blood test results back? And for a moment, I felt like I was on the edge of a cliff. I thought, this could go either way. Do you know what I mean?
You snuck that in, didn't you? You thought you're in the system, you're going to ask.
Yeah, I thought, while he's got the computer open, he might as well check. And then I regretted asking because I thought, what if this is awful news and I've got to handle it now?
Yeah.
And I don't fancy it. I don't think I can cope. You know, it's my first day off. And anyway, he said, no, all fine, in a very bored kind of way. And I just thought, quite like a sit down and a chat about these.
Yeah. Even though it was in the middle of a school hall with lots of other people around, you see, that would have been a bit of a problem, wouldn't it?
To be honest, I was having my flu jab in my doctor's GP. I expected to be in a big hall, but I wasn't. Yes. I was in a little private room. I've had both the jabs this week, Judith, in one day, one in each arm. I had very sore arms. I had the COVID in the morning. That was a nice cue. And then in the afternoon, I had my flu jab. So there we go. I'm all jabbed. Are you all jabbed?
You're all jabbed. I'm semi all jabbed, but I've had one more than you because I've had me shingles, but I've got to have flu on Saturday. Yes.
Okay.
And then I think that's it for a while.
Yes, I think I think we should leave the needles alone for a little while. We might do some more Hypochondriacs Corner later, but we should go back to the beginning now. And in our notes, it says beautiful autumn. And I have to agree, Judith, it is a beautiful autumn.
Well, isn't it a lovely, a very, very gorgeous golden colours, blue skies, and, you know, the squirrels are out, aren't they? Apparently, do they forget where they put things? Because they get, you know,
they've got all the nuts. They've got no brain, squirrels.
Really?
You've seen the size of their heads compared to everything else. They've got the tiniest brain. If you ever see a squirrel skeleton, you realise there's no room in there for a brain. Absolutely none whatsoever.
No,
they're sort of like born menopausal women.
So apparently they break the nuts open. It was one of the gang that told us this didn't they?
I knew it already.
Oh, you didn't. Come off it. You're not that good at nature table.
Judith, there's very little. Well, there's a lot of vermin in our garden. Let's face it. There's not much nature. There's a fuck of a lot of vermin. And there's a lot of squirrels as well. And I watch them and thick as thick. The cleverest thing in our back garden, I'll tell you now, is the robin. The robin.
Really?
Yes, I would say. Yeah,
how does he? Because it's a he, isn't it? It's definitely. Or is it a lady robin? Are they ladies or boys?
Oh, that's Judith. You've just opened a real can of robins. Well, I'm talking about the commoner garden robin with the red breast. You know when in nature, and sometimes in fashion in the past, the peacock has always been the male. You know, the fancy one.
Yes.
So maybe the female robin hasn't even got a red breast. Would you know if that were fact?
Oh, yes. Maybe she's just got a drab thing and he's got that little red waistcoat on.
Absolutely, yes. This is something we must look into, because there will be people at home thinking, oh, fucking hell, they've only just started this podcast and already they are gibbering. So now, how does the clever robin manifest itself? How do I know it's clever?
Yeah.
Because at all times, he makes sure, and I think it's the same one quite frequently, that he is in a picturesque pose. It's as if he knows that his job as a robin is to be Christmas card ready. So some of his brain is wired to sit prettily on like the handle of a spade.
He's waiting for a handle of a spade or a little snowy branch or next to a watering can.
Yeah, that's exactly. He's like something out of Beatrix Potter. He's like always looking for his best backdrop. That's how clever
back garden
robin is. So there we go.
Yeah, smart. Well,
but nature is the only thing keeping us going, Judith, isn't it? Because otherwise, it's a shit show out there, isn't it?
I can't. I mean, it really. Oh, did you know there was? Well, all of us are worried sick, aren't we?
It's difficult for us, isn't it? As very privileged women, and we know this, and we acknowledge it. We know we're privileged women, and we've got roofs above our heads. But I think this is the first kind of economic crisis where everybody is shit scared. And I know that some people have got a lot more to be shit scared about, and they're, you know, they really, really are, you know, struggling already. I think possibly it's our turn. The middle classes are absolutely fucking petrified.
It probably won't do us
any harm, but it's very, very frightening, isn't it?
It is frightening. It really is. I mean, there was about an hour, honestly, last week where I thought, Mike's going to lose his pension. I mean, if Mike loses his pension, we're absolutely fucked. I mean, you say we're privileged. Honestly, if that goes, we go down like a stone. Yeah. And the kids, you know, they've both got mortgages. They've got fixed interest rates, but only for a very limited time. So they're all looking at each other thinking, well, bloody hell. No, it is. It's shit. And then that, you know, stupid woman did that press conference and sort of ran away, didn't she?
It's very difficult. Yeah, she did. She scarpered. I mean, it's almost difficult now to be horrible about her because, you know, at the end of the day, she is a woman. And there's a tiny creeping bit of sadness for her creeping into me. Not very much, because she has absolutely fucked it up right royally, and then sort of, you know, dumped it all on Kwasi Kwarteng's head and given him the chop, and then she's survived. And I don't know how she has the gall, but I mean anybody with any empathy at all, you have to occasionally think, I mean, although I'm giving her right slagging on stage, but there is a tiny bit of me that thinks, how must it be to wake up in her skin? How must it be knowing the vandalism, the damage you have done? You just...
Yeah.
It would take such guts to get out from under the duvet. I'd be spending what money I had left on a facelift and running off to Ecuador.
I mean, yeah, there's an element. I agree to an extent with what you're saying, Jenny, because she's a woman in power and she's an individual and she's fucked up. But actually, I normally am quite empathetic and think, yeah, I mean, I did around Boris. I thought, God, I wouldn't like to be in his shoes making all those terrible decisions during COVID. I don't envy him. You know, anybody would make different mistakes. I'm quite empathetic, but to be perfectly honest, and you know, I'm really getting into my stride here, aren't I? I am furious with her. I'm furious with her. And I know she's, irrespective of the fact that she's a woman in power, I'm sorry, but her arrogance... And the sort of, you know, I'm going to follow this kind of tautology of, you know, my economics, the arrogance of it and not checking with the people who knew about what the funds were is extraordinary. And I watched that press conference and I was properly mad, properly mad.
Hyperventilating. I think also what she's done and why it's valid to be so angry, she's put the idea of women at the helm back about 150 years.
Oh, hasn't she just?
Because she makes Theresa May look like she knew what she was doing.
Oh, God, yes.
Judith, how much emergency Valium do you think she's on a day?
She'll be getting through a stash. I mean, seriously, she really, really... And also, what on earth does she go on to do? Because presumably, most ex-chancellors go on to advise, don't they? I don't know what they do, really, but they sort of get paid mega bucks to go and sort of, you know, advise on banks and hedge funds and things.
But she's
who the hell?
Oh, Kwasi. God knows what Kwasi's going to do, but who? I don't know what she's going to do.
No,
I don't know what she's going to do. You know, but I think Boris is already in the States. There was some rumour that he was still hanging out in Chequers, you know, like he hadn't left the holiday home. But there's two conflicting rumours. One is that he's sort of bedded in Chequers and just not leaving. And the other one is that he's already in America, you know, doing the talks and whatever. I don't know.
And the more she messes it up, the more people will go and see his talks and buy his book, of course. I mean, nobody's going to buy her book. I mean, seriously, who the hell would buy it? No, it's terrible. It's terrible for her. But I mean,
the lid on the coffin started closing, didn't it, when Prince Charles... put that final nail in, really, with it.
I know. It was just... No, it's a complete disaster.
But there we go. I don't know whether anybody has any solutions out there. If you do, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
But where is Rishi? Where's Rishi? Is he sort of squirreled away somewhere, sort of being groomed to take over, doing some, you know, some kind of coup?
He's bound to be, and I'd be delighted if he came back. But I do think
I want Martin Lewis. I just think Martin Lewis.
Can we just like Martin Lenny Henry? Lewis. Yeah, we'd like Lenny Henry, Martin Lewis. You know, a drizzle of Jamie Oliver. I mean, you know, we could sort it out. Well, they'd sort it out. But no,
you were putting poor Sienna up for Prime Minister the other day on our Instagram account.
Yes,
because she had a schedule for the twins. And if anyone can keep twins to schedule, then she should be able to shape the country.
God. Yeah, I know. I caught sight of it in the kitchen yesterday. And it's literally, it is a woman in desperation trying to regain control over her life, looking after two small twins. It really is. It's like, you know, 7 o'clock. Yeah, wake, first feed, 10:30, brief nap, 10:45, bit of this, some solids.
Oh. Are you telling me those twins are not obeying the schedule?
Of course they're not obeying the schedule. Don't
you
be
see
ridiculous.
I saw that? Because I do. I'm full of admiration for Sienna. And I do. I honestly think I hold her in such high esteem because she is incredible. But and I genuinely looked at that and thought, well, I bet she's got that. I bet she's actually got them like that.
Not
I bet they
really.
Like that. And then, you
not
know, you
really.
Go around to Phoebe's and there's Arlo just sort of dribbling, snotting, puking, milking all over, and then massive shit. Ooh, there's another. And then has a massive shit while you're changing the first shit.
or have you experienced that now, have you? Yeah, I know, that's quite
well, I haven't, but I have heard tell.
Yes,
in fact, I changed nappy the other day and Phoebe was watching me. She said, just remind me, have you ever done this before?
Well, nappies have changed. And they're
nappies
boys.
Nappies have changed. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Boys.
I know.
That's the thing.
He is a delight at the moment. I mean, it's this post 3 months kind of thing where he's very sly, though, because he laughs a lot and he giggles. Well, not laughing out loud, but he smiles a lot. He smiles a lot. But that's as soon as you get the camera on him, goes all sort of like, won't smile. It's like, really?
Does he?
Don't do
Does
it.
He?
Yeah, he's a sly boy. But he's, you know, it's just easier, isn't it, when they're giving you something back.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sort
easier.
Of the charm of them comes
oh,
out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But he's got a real sort of scamp about him, hasn't he?
I don't know whether
about him.
There might be, but he's also quite easy in some respects. I mean, though it's all phases, isn't he? He hasn't really started teething yet.
He's probably storing it all up. He's saving it all up for one big teething, horror, ball of maniac.
He's having some jabs this afternoon, so I think I might have to go over and sort of do a little bit of, you know, cuddling. Little cuddling. Get my hands on him, little bit cuddling. Now, so Arlo's 3 months now, and the twins are sort of six, seven. Yes, but they were born 4 weeks early. So,
Yes, I need to get my head around that. And every time I do it, I think I get it wrong, the wrong way round. So they're kind of... they're younger than that, are they, or older than that? They're younger, they're a bit younger, but yes.
Yes.
But they're developing at very different rates, I suppose they would do, the two individuals. So Stanley can now sit up on his own, which is a great relief because you can kind of plonk him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, plonk him. Yeah.
And he stays there and then suddenly fall over like a skittle.
Oh, marvellous.
Just say, whoa, he's gone over again. Yeah. Eddie can't be bothered at all. He just likes being carried everywhere. But they're hard work though, Jenny. They really are. I was there yesterday, and I think I did about 2.5 hours. I was looking at my watch, thinking, oh, I'm going to take them out for a walk now because I don't want to do with them.
Phoebe had her hair cut and bleached yesterday, so I went to get her. I bought an extra car seat for my car, so
yes.
I haven't gone for one of the fancy ones.
You haven't gone for a swiveller.
No, I just thought I can't really, you know, I can't really justify this. I'm just going to have to help this bloody thing around with me. So anyway, we bought all the stuff around to our house. Phoebe gave him as much feed as she could sort of basically shove down his throat, and then left some. You know when they express some breast milk and put it in those freezer things? Anyway, some emergency standby that I was meant to sort of dissolve in hot water and then put in a sterilised bottle. I was terrified of this. Yeah. Fortunately, she got a bus down to East Dulwich from our house, and the moment she left the house, he just fell asleep, and he was asleep for 2.5 hours. Because I had backup. I had Vanessa, you know, Phoebe's old nanny, came round sort of just in case I fell to pieces or whatever.
He was asleep the whole time.
And we had lovely, Vanessa and I had a lovely time. We did some sketching at the kitchen table and had a proper chat. And then eventually sort of thought, he starts to stir a bit. And I made up the emergency bottle just in case. And then we got the bus down to East Dulwich. And you know where we went for lunch? We went there.
Nice.
Yes, to Megan's in East Dulwich. Maybe they'll give us a free lunch if we set against. That's Megan's in East Dulwich, where I had the very nice avocado on toast.
That's what we had last time.
Yes, I know.
Exactly what we had last time.
I'm so boring sometimes, Judith. I get my brain just won't engage further. I just, like, it gets to work what I had last time. I think, well, that'll do. That's fine. It was nice. I'll have the hat. Anyway, so that was nice. And then Phoebe came out the hairdresser. He kind of came round and did another massive feed and then just sat around with us. And
did you pretend he was really difficult and you got him off to sleep and you placated him?
No, because she kept texting throughout her bleaching. Because you can't have a baby in the bleach room, you see, because of the fumes. So she kept texting, is he all right? Is he all right?
Well, that sounds like a good shift, Jenny. I wouldn't mind some more shifts like that. That's great. Fantastic. That's enough of Nana Land, because, you know, there might be a bit of snore-law going on. So where were we? We've talked about the state of the world, which is up the shit.
I want to tell you about a really clumsy thing. I've done two clumsy things this week. I'm off Twitter because of admitting to being a landlady and the world came down my head.
Well, there's lots of people who are landladies. I mean...
Well, apparently all property is theft. So, you know, I'll just shut my trap on that one in the future. It was silly. I opened a letter from the bank about how much the mortgage had gone and I freaked out. And anyway, that's beside the point. Blah, blah. The other clumsy thing I did, get this, Judith, right. I've got a very nice accountant whom I have never met, and he sent me an email asking me to attach my bank statements to some software called Xerox.
Because I have so far failed. I'm hearing the word software, attach, and bank statement, and I'm freaking.
I have so far failed to do this. And so, to help me, he attached what looked like an in-house corporate video explaining how this could be done. I watched this video in the passenger car seat en route to Ipswich, could not make head nor tail of it, so emailed this nice accountant back saying the video was absolute gibberish to me and there was no way I could follow what the fellow was trying to tell me, and in no way did I find it helpful. The next day, Judith, I played the video on my desktop, thinking maybe this time I could see and hear it better. And it was this point I heard the bloke on the video introduce himself by name, and it was none other than my long-suffering accountant who had made the video himself in order to help me, and in return I'd emailed him back and called it gibberish.
It was just for you. He'd done it just for you. For his one client that is completely...
Yeah, the only client that can't do it. Yeah, so he had, in his spare time, made... I will stand by the fact that it was absolutely unfollowable. And I don't think he was using a Mac, so it wouldn't work anyway. And I had to write him a grovelling email back just saying, I am so mortified, I'm so embarrassed. It's so kind of you to do this, and I still don't understand it. And I don't know whether you have a mother who's as equally stupid as I am. But, you know, I will only know how to do this if someone comes and sits next to me and shows me which buttons to press.
Nicely dodged. I mean, I like the way that you've the grovelling with the kisses on the end. By the way, did you put a kiss on the end?
But no, I didn't, because I didn't want to embarrass. No, I wouldn't want to embarrass him, and that would have embarrassed him.
Okay, but so what you did is you obviously you painted your kind of incompetence even stronger. Good idea.
I sort of made out I had the brain of a squirrel.
Yes. No, I can see that would have been very effective. Oh, poor bloke, honestly.
I know. Anyway, right, what else has been going on?
Oh, God, do you know what? Yesterday, I bought a coffee for Ellen. Yes. She said, I did a drive-through Starbucks, okay, on the way to Sienna's, and she wanted a specific cappuccino. Can you believe, oh, God, sounding so old, it was £3.75 for a medium size, because they haven't got medium, it's a grande or whatever that is.
Yeah, it's a bucket of fucking coffee, of milky, pappy shit.
Ridiculous. It was light as a feather. It was, as you would have said, all froth. Anyway, got out of the car with Poppy, who's actually very ill-behaved at the moment on the lead and off
Poppy.
The lead.
She's a teenager, Judith. She's a teenager. You've got to realise this. So really you get out of the car with Poppy and the coffee and...
Yeah. Got into Sienna's hall and she pulled and I dropped this bloody cappuccino all over Sienna's hall carpet. Honestly, it must have taken me about an hour to do that thing with the kitchen roll where you have to dance on it first, then you have to get the mop. Just lost the whole of the bloody thing because basically Poppy pulled me. Yeah, so that was...
Naughty Poppy. It's when the twins are around, isn't it? She just knows she's not getting full-time, 100% attention.
She hates that house.
Does she? She knows when she goes to Sienna's house that she can smell them, can't she?
She does. No, she is. She's very, very naughty. But I tell you the other thing that's happening, she's developing quite bad breath. And Sienna said, are you cleaning her teeth? Well, obviously I'm not cleaning her teeth, to be honest. But I've got the special toothpaste from the vets and a special silly little toothbrush, which is just like the kind of thing that the twins will be using rather dangerously. Anyway, I sit her on the utility counter, and it's quite hard work, and she doesn't really like opening her mouth. There's a little bit of teeth showing. And I had this great idea. I thought there's electric toothbrush that, you know, one of the ones that you take away when you go away, and I'll use that. And she doesn't mind it, actually. At least you get a bit more done.
Because she'll like the buzzing noise, maybe.
Well, yes.
Of a battery-operated toothbrush.
The only thing is I've got to be very, very, very careful that I don't get it mixed up with Mike's toothbrush or my toothbrush, haven't I?
Well, you know which one it is, but have you actually pointed out to Mike which one the dog's toothbrush is? Or have you just been very vague about it on the off chance that if he does use it, that's his lookout? He's got to be careful of the toothbrushes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore.
Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, now, what else has been in the news this week, Judith?
Well, on the royal front, two things. Yes. Did you notice that Charles and Camilla are apparently not moving into Buckingham Palace, but they're staying where they are, and they might open it to the public, which I think is a very good idea.
But it looks, how would you live in Buckingham Palace anyway? It's like a massive fucking post office, isn't it? Like one of those European post offices, you know, very grand and everything, but it's just long and wide. Where would you start? Where would you live? Which bit of it? It's too much. So are they going to stay in Clarence House?
I think they are. Mind you, the indoor pool would be nice. Not that I've been in it, obviously, but we
do not think they've got an indoor pool at Clarence House.
In Clarence House? Or do you reckon? Surely not.
Well, if they haven't, I think they could knock one up, don't you?
No, they should be going over the road. They'll be crossing the road with their rucksacks and their rolled-up towels going into Buck House, I hope. I wonder if she's a swimmer. I think Camilla might be a swimmer. I think she might be one of those slow lane swimmers that have a chat.
I think she's
with
more horses,
ladies.
Judith. I think she's walks and horses. Yes. And you know, with swimming, it's a different sort of angle of the knee, isn't it? She's knees in for the horse thing. You can't be a ballet dancer and a horse rider. And, of course, that's where Diana went wrong, because she was more ballet. And, you know, so she's all about the turn out. And then all of a sudden you're on a horse and it's all wrong. Your legs are all wrong. Yeah, turn in. There we go.
Did you see that The Crown is starting on November the 9th? See, I actually know the day. I'm now already mentally in a queue with a little fold-up chair waiting for it to come out, Jenny.
And the whole series is going to be downloaded in one go, is it? Can you sort of sit there for sort of 4 days and just gorge the whole thing?
I won't be able to defer that my sort of gratification very much with those at all. I shall gobble them all up. And you must have seen in the press that apparently they're covering Prince Philip's relationship with a very much younger woman who shared his love of what was that ridiculous thing he did? Carriage racing.
Carriage riding.
I mean, that's, you know,
that's a euphemism, isn't it?
It's definitely. I mean, come on. Who in their right mind would like to sit on one of those silly carriages with a kind of tartan rug? I always thought that was a very strange thing to want to do. Didn't you think?
With the funny shaped whip as well. It's the inclusion. It's the dress and the whip. That turns it into a slightly S&M-y kind of thing. I have heard that there's actually quite a bit of a hoo-ha over this series of The Crown. I think the producers must be running a little bit scared, because in the wake of the death of the Queen, you know, how's the nation really going to? Are they going to be as open to sort of slightly scurrilous exposés of the royal family, or are they going to sort of go, oh, do you know what? Leave him alone. I don't know.
I think they're probably. I think the truth is that we are all interested like mad. I think it's all done and dusted. It's all cut, isn't it? Already. I mean.
It's going to be a bit of a fait accompli. I wonder who the girl was then. The girl that pretended she liked carriage riding, to sort of get off with Prince Philip. The things women do just to sort of like ensnare men is very odd, isn't it?
I think I'm afraid I did recognise some of that in myself. I have to hold my hands up and say that I am guilty of a bit of a sort of ensnarement kind of strategy, really.
What did you do?
I remember going to football matches with him.
Oh, Jesus God.
Yeah, I know. That's how I was going to say how desperate I was. It's not quite right, but that's how enthusiastic I was. Yeah, I know. I did that. There was something else. I obviously pretended to be very interested in politics. Looking back, it was terrible. And then, of course, the moment he asked me to marry me, I never went to another football match. Of course I didn't. No, women do that, don't they? I think men do it too. Men probably do it in a slightly more subtle way.
Don't know what I did to sort of ensnare Jeff. I was a hopeless catch, really. I don't know what he saw in me. I was an anorexic, chain-smoking kitchen washout. I mean, the only thing I could make was this thing called baked bean slop. This is pre my tomato allergy. My only signature dish was something referred to as baked bean slop. And what it was I'd boil up some vegetables and they would include... It was a winter dish. Ideal for now. Actually, I might get... If I wasn't allergic to tomatoes, it'd be the ideal budget-busting meal for now. It's all just a load of old veg, root veg, potatoes, carrots, onions, Brussels sprouts, because I love a Brussels sprout, anything. Boil them up until they're al dente, right? And then just put them all in a pan together with a tin of baked beans and a tin of tomatoes. Bingo, there you have
that's
it.
That's it. That's it. I was expecting your follow through, which involved an oven and some breadcrumbs and some Gruyere cheese.
Don't be ridiculous. I don't think I had an oven at the time. I just had a hob.
Oh my God, Jenny.
There you go. Yeah.
You must have been good in bed. The only thing I can say is that you must have been very good in bed, and you were obviously
always
quite
been
fun,
bendy. So. Always been bendy. That's all. Well, the only thing I've had in my. To my advantage, is a swivelling hip. Now then, Project Corner. Have you had your paints out?
There's been quite a lot of displacement activities to stop me thinking about the state of the world, really. So
great.
I made two pinnies out of some scraps, which were a little bit slapdash, but, you know, I took a picture from a distance and, they're okay. I'm quite pleased with them.
I think they look very... And then someone said, what's the pattern? And you rather blithely replied, it's a big piece of brown paper folded in half with a semicircle cut at the neck.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Really, really not difficult.
But where do you get the brown paper from?
Well, the post office, of course. Oh. Don't tell me you haven't got any brown paper. Oh, you've got on paperless,
I have got, actually, I fucking well do have a roll of brown paper, to be quite honest. Yes,
of course
I do.
You do. Of course you do. You have to iron first.
I've lost interest now. And they haven't got a sewing machine anyway. Those are done with a sewing machine, are they not?
Of course they are. Oh, my God, yes, absolutely. Okay. Literally run those up.
So I have to say my tour tapestry is not finished, Judith.
It's
so not finished.
Though.
It will be lovely, but it's a very labour-intensive pattern. I might have to go back on the road. I was thinking the only way I'm going to finish this tapestry is to either go back on the road or take the show to other territories and do a long plane journey to Australia.
Ooh,
I'm going
nice.
To put it to my agent next week when I see him.
Oh, yes. You should be going to Australia, shouldn't you? In Canada. The place that would be Grumpy
nice.
Went.
Yeah. And I'll tell you where else, what else I've done, Judith. I've planted my bulbs.
Oh, you're ahead of me on that score. I've still got mine to do.
It's not like me at all. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I think we have to get on to Culture Corner very soon. But before that, let's just do a quick roundup of food sensations.
Very thin this week, I'm afraid. There's been some comfort eating on my part, but I did make a very, very, very large cauliflower cheese, which honestly could have. I mean, in your kitchen, you'd have a big family meal, but it was only four of us. Big cauliflower cheese, but also with broccoli. So broccoli and cauliflower cheese. And do you know what I did? I went to the spice cupboard. Went completely mad and off-piste, and I sprinkled on the top a load of cumin seeds.
I'm not sure whether I'd like that.
Quite successful. I don't know that I'll do it every time, but successful.
If I come and we're having cauliflower cheese, which I do adore, could I have mine in a cumin-free corner?
God, you just burst my bubble, haven't you?
I'm really sorry. Can you hear my dryer going beep, beep, beep? Because I think I can. I don't want
to... If you've got your dryer on... By the way, have you got heating on yet? Because I haven't.
Heating on. No, I haven't. No, all right, I have got the dryer on, yes. But it's only...
Okay.
Yeah, it's only because I haven't got... Oh, God. I just, for God's sake, please edit that out. Otherwise, I'll have... Mind you, I'm not on Twitter anymore, so fuck it. Yeah, I've got my fucking dryer on. What are you going to make of it? I'm just drying the things that I've got to take on tour tomorrow. Do you mind? Right, and moving on now to our...
Wait a minute. What was your food sensation of the week?
I haven't had one. I've just been on tour.
Still on the sandwiches, aren't you? Yeah.
I'm still on the sandwiches. Okay. I had a fish pie indoors on Saturday night. I had a rare Saturday night off. Having a Saturday night off. I mean, halfway through my fish pie, I thought, this is odd. I should be on stage. Are you sure you haven't got the dates wrong? You start sort of like checking your own website.
Are they all sitting there waiting for me to come on? That must have been your worst nightmare, mustn't it?
But fortunately, Ray, the tour manager, is pretty on the ball, and I think he'd be knocking on the door. Yeah. I had a gig, so that's all right.
Good.
Now, I've got a friend coming for coffee, Judith.
Today?
Now, that's very grown up.
Have you got some biscuits ready?
No, she's not like that. She's a skinny little actress. She don't eat.
She's just getting a coffee, is she? That's just what she's getting.
I haven't got any milk either, to be quite honest. I haven't got anything. We're going to have a little walk down the corner shop. That's what we'll do. It's my friend Kelly Shirley that I did Panto with. She's got twins. She's the one with twins.
Yeah, I thought she was the one with
six,
twins.
Seven now. Yeah, yeah. Love her.
Oh, wow.
She's a great little actress as well. Yeah, she's wonderful. So, nice. Culture Corner, Judith, what have you got for me?
Oh, it's a bit thin this week. Finished Inside Man. And I noticed that on the notice board, there were people, including you, saying that they weren't convinced about the second... Because I enthused about it like mad last week, and I did love it. But I do agree that the UK plot line was a bit weak compared to the American one. But nevertheless, it was slightly unbelievable.
I've only done one episode, so I will give it another chance. I'm sort of dipping in and out of things. I mean, I haven't rejected it out of hand, but I just didn't... The David Tennant and his wife part of it just sort of pretty silly.
You should carry on because there's some great comedy lines apart from anything else. I urge you to carry on. But it is slightly weaker, but the other side of it is so strong, I forgave it.
We're still on This England, which Jeff really enjoys. I find quite a difficult watch and quite repetitive. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's also recent history as well. And it's kind of like, I sometimes just think, I don't think I can watch another person die in a care home.
Yeah,
on this program, it's
yes. The only thing I would say about that is that because I was watching them again last night, and for me, the failure is Kenneth Branagh's performance. I don't find him convincing. Yeah, I don't find him a convincing Boris at all. But I think the Dominic Cummings character fascinates me, and I bet all of that is incredibly true. But actually, I thought that the material, the scenes in the care homes, were beautifully done and really affectionate.
I think they just touched too much of a nerve with me.
Of course they did. Stupid of me. It's just sort of that terrible, the way
so many people just left to get on with it. And then by contrast, Dominic Cummings, you know, skipping through a bloody bluebell wood. I mean, that's where it is clever, that juxtaposition of sort of everybody else taking on the responsibility and this absolute arsehole who just thought he could do what he liked.
Because
as soon as it affected him and his family, you know, it was all rules were off. It's outrageous. And I am enjoying it in bits.
Yes, me too. And actually, unlike you, I'm really enjoying the dramatisation of what we've all recently gone through, in the sense that it has been so bloody massive. And seeing all those...
And I quite like Branagh's performance. I think that...
Oh, do you?
I do. I think he's got the voice pretty well down. But I don't have a great ear, to be quite honest. But I think it's... You know, he's physically quite different. So sometimes you just think this is just acting through prosthetics and you can see sort of like glue all over his face.
A little bit, yes, absolutely. But his manner, I think he captures his manner. I mean, not that I've ever met Boris, but that sort of, you can see him in those kind of cabinet meetings where this terrible kind of crunch is coming, where he knows... people are going to die. People are really going to have to die. I'm going to make the biggest decisions anyone's had to make to bring lockdown in and everything. And he's kind of still not really looking at the notes, is he? And kind of affable, but sort of not really there.
You get the impression that he's looking forward to the end of the day and a drink.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. And a very, very large plate of food.
With gravy. So.
Right. Books, Judith. Well, I finished Shrines of Gaiety, which I think you're still reading. And I was really sad that it finished. I so loved that book. How far have you got?
Oh, I'm probably about halfway through and I'm adoring it. It's a great rollicking read and it's going along at a great pace. It's great fun. And she's a mistress of sort of keeping all those balls up in the air, the character, the plot, the story, everything's up there. And, you know, it's such a light hand with it. It's just great. And there's so many characters. And if she wasn't such a good writer, you would have lost track of some of them. You wouldn't be very interested in some of them. But they're all there. They've all got equal billing. It's great. I know.
It's an astonishing piece of writing. Very, very good.
Now and again, I have to have a quick burst of the second Alan Partridge from the Oast House podcast, which is just because Jeff isn't on Shrines of Gaiety with me. So we're on another book, but we're not bedded in yet. And I'm not. So now and again, when I'm feeling very anxious, I have to have a bit of Alan Partridge. And it's the second of his podcast recordings on Audible. You can only get it if you're an Audible member. Sorry about that. But if you are an Audible member, and you love our Alan Partridge, it is a must.
Yeah, I remember the first series. I should definitely be looking at that. My comfort sort of listening at the moment is another David Sedaris.
Oh, really? Lovely.
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 Can't go wrong, can you?
If you don't know David Sedaris, you can probably get some on Radio 4, actually, if you want a freebie taster. David Sedaris on Radio 4 on the, BBC Bloody Sounds.
BBC Radio Sounds. Yeah,
there you go. Right.
He's a nice bloke as well, isn't he? I remember in COVID, he only ever gave interviews to journalists, because obviously very sought after interview, if they came litter picking with him. I thought that was such a lovely touch, because he lived in the UK. Plenty of litter to pick up. So, I'd love to meet him, actually. I think I'm a big fan, big fan.
Right, well, if anybody's listening that can organise this for... sorry, we're getting a little bit Jim will fix it here, but we have to be careful in that arena. Right, I'm just going to see whether Kelly's actually here and waiting downstairs.
Oh, God,
no, I'll finish this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm right. So, an email each, Judith. I'm going to go for... The woman who's this from? Let me just see. It's from Alexa. She's 60 in a month exactly. And she took a mini cruise to Amsterdam to celebrate being 60. And breakfast, it was a vast buffet arrangement, all foods you can imagine, continental buffet, ham, cheese, etc. Unfortunately, she was suffering from seasickness, struggling to eat much for breakfast. However, she was transfixed watching a fellow passenger with her husband, who was drinking, they were only drinking coffee, but she seemed to be buttering bread, making sandwiches at the table with bread, ham and cheese from the buffet. I watched her as she carefully and with no attempt to disguise what she was doing, making two large sandwiches, cut them in half, etc. I reported all this to my husband, commenting she'll be wrapping them in a napkin next, but no, I was wrong. At this point, she delved into the front of her dress, into her bra, and produced two plastic sandwich bags. Oh, this woman's prepared. She put the sandwiches she'd made into the bags, drained her coffee, and then she and her husband left the restaurant, the lady in question, swinging the bagged sandwiches as she went. This is a triumphant tale of wonderful buffet management. That's what I say, don't you, Judith?
That's advanced breakfast stealing, isn't it? That's very impressive work. Very, very impressive work.
Yeah.
So we've had a lovely email from Brian, who's a friend of our parish, who had a really tricky operation on his esophagus for cancer recently. Now, I'm just desperately trying to find it. He sent us this lovely email saying that he's come through the surgery and he's come through the other end. And the best thing is that one of the side effects of the treatment has been that he stopped snoring. So he's back in the marital bed.
Yay!
That's very good news, Brian. We're so pleased that you're feeling better.
We are, because we do want Brian to. We do want you to keep in touch with us and tell us how you're doing, because
absolutely.
We do love it when we
Brian
hear that you're
C,
doing
68
well.
And 7 months.
And doing well, great. Fantastic. My friend Kelly has just texted me to say that she has parked outside. So
really...
I'm going to have to love you two and leave you two and the listeners and go and give my real life friend, well, you're my real life friends as well, but she's actually outside my house.
Yes, I am here in real life.
Yeah. But she's on my doorstep. So I'm going to go now and explain I have no milk and no nothing. And would you like a walk to the corner shop?
Yeah. Okay, well, have a lovely time. And listen, hope you have a better week. Hope we all have a better week.
Yes, absolutely.
And in the meantime, everybody, you know, courage, basically, everybody. And
courage. Yeah. Let's think about embroidering that on a sampler this week, ladies and gentlemen who are listening. Lots of love to you all and stay well. And we shall be back in the same place next week. Thank you very much for listening. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.